Coach, you had a chance to review the film. You watched the game. Unfortunately, doesn't go your way. What was the biggest factor in that yesterday?
Well, I think in the end we just didn't do things well enough. We had some chances to make some plays, and we just didn't make enough of them or make them at the right time, however you want to look at it.
I saw you say after the game yesterday, Bill, that you could do some things better coaching-wise. I'm wondering specifically, you know, what did you mean by that? What are some of the things that you feel that you could do to help the team win some games? Or win that game? You already, just your first loss, winning that game.
Well, I mean, just things we could have prepared for a little bit differently, or maybe emphasize a little bit more some little things that might have made a difference.
And that leads to my next question. I know you prepare for all of these games, and you kind of see what or anticipate the type of game that's going to be in terms of style. That game, limited scoring opportunities, rugged defense for both sides, a lot of punts. Is that the game that you envision, that it would be this, a low-scoring defensive struggle? Is that the game you prepared for and the game you saw?
Oh, I don't think you ever know how the game's going to go in the NFL. That if you could figure that out, you could really, you know, you'd be way ahead of everybody else. I think you just have to prepare for the things that, as a coach, that you feel like your opponents are going to do, situations that could come up, and have a game plan for how to deal with them. So, I don't ever think things are going to be low scoring or high scoring or in between or anything else. I don't know how that's going to go.
Well, is that the game you prepared for, though? You said, you know, you think they
prepared for everything. We prepared for their running game, their passing game. We prepared to run ball. We prepared to throw it. We prepared for red area, third down, punting, punt returns, kickoff. I mean, we prepared for all those.
No, you do. I'm saying what they did. You said you prepare for what you think your opponents are going to do. Did they do pretty much everything that you thought?
Yeah, I don't think there was a whole lot. There weren't a whole lot of things that they did in the game that we hadn't seen them do before or that we hadn't talked about. No, you know, the blitzes, I think those were, we'd seen those before, and offensively, I can't think of anything right offhand. The pistol was a little bit of a new thing for them. They had run shotgun runs, and they had run under center runs out of multiple receivers, but they put Dalton in the pistol formation, and I hadn't really seen him do that before.
He had a play down near the goal line. Danny Amendola caught the pass just about the 1 foot line, tries to roll into the end zone. Did you think about challenging that play?
I did, but we didn't think he was in.
Just figured that he got touched ahead of time, wasn't worth it at that point.
He did get touched.
Right.
And the official came in and marked the ball very quickly, short of the goal line, and pretty emphatically too. And what I saw, it looked pretty close. What the coaches saw up in the booth. Nobody was really convinced that he was in. So, looking at it today again, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that one get overturned. But you know, I don't know.
How about the 4th-and-2 decision you made? You're at about midfield, third quarter. It's about 4 or 5 minutes left in the third quarter. You make the decision to punt. Not criticizing it specifically, just wondering what goes into that decision making process.
I'd say at that point, field position.
So the goal obviously is to pin them deep, but you have to look at what your offense has done, what your defense has done to the game. I mean, is it a flow of the game decision, or is it something where you sort of have a sense beforehand how you are going to handle situations?
It could be a combination of all those things, yeah. It could be definitely a combination.
Was there anything you had seen in this game specifically that helped make that decision?
Well, we hadn't done particularly well on third down, so... You know, I think if you feel like you have a good player, you have something that you want to run, and you have a chance to run it, then you feel pretty good about running it. But, you know, our third downs, you know, weren't a real strong point for us at that point in the game or at any point in the game. And tight game, field position, you know, I felt like that was still probably the percentage play regardless.
You know, there are lots of things that we think will happen and things that actually happen. So you haven't had Vince. You didn't have him for 3 quarters in Atlanta. Didn't have him, obviously, yesterday. What you think, as a football fan, is, are they going to try to attack the Patriots up the middle? try to see how they respond without Vince. Is there anything obvious like that happening? Do you feel like teams, with the absence of Vince, are trying to attack you up the middle of the field?
I wouldn't say that was a big part of Atlanta's game plan. But since that happened during the game, they didn't have the week to prepare for it like Cincinnati did. We felt like Cincinnati was going to have more of an aggressive attitude running the ball. They said that after the Cleveland loss, that they didn't carry it or, you know, call enough runs. Coach Lewis said that. That wasn't a big surprise that they called more runs. I thought, you know, we had a couple plays in the running game that weren't as well defended as what we'd like. Both of them were really outside plays. One play hit off tackle, and then another play was a toss that cut back. But, you know, there's certainly things we could have done better in the running game. I didn't think that was, you know, the biggest problem in the game, but we certainly could have done it better.
You know, they ran the ball effectively, but you guys did too. They ran it 39 times, I think 4.2 a carry. You ran it 18 for 4.6. Surprised that you had just 6 second half runs. Why not more runs in the second half for you guys?
Some of those plays were checked. Some of them, some of it was situational. We got behind there those last couple drives, and there's a lot of passing in those. But, overall, our running game, there's no negative runs other than the one on the goal line. But in normal situations, we didn't have negative plays. As you said, our average was okay. We probably, you know, could have called for more of them.
How's Tom Brady playing?
Well, I think our whole offense is just, you know, we haven't been consistent as we'd like to be. So that includes really everybody. You know, we do some good things, but we don't do them as much as we need to do them. And then you get one bad play, a drop ball, a missed throw, a missed block, a penalty. Not that we had any penalties yesterday, but, you know, one thing, and that can, you know, slow down a drive or stop a drive, and then you're giving the ball up. So we had too many long yardage situations yesterday. We had some drop balls. We had some missed throws. We had a couple pressures. So it seemed like it was one thing or sometimes two things on every drive, and eventually that just caught up with us.
Of those things you mentioned, is there one thing you're most concerned about with your offense?
Yeah, just the overall consistency, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've got to stay at a long yardage. I mean, that's every team's goal. And when we did that, for example, last week against Atlanta, we were in a lot of long yardage situations. Then we were able to maintain the ball and move the ball and convert third downs and stay on the field and score points. Yesterday, I think we had, I don't know, whatever it was, 6 or 7 plays that were 3rd and 10+. And that's, you know, you might convert 1 or 2 of those statistically, but the odds are, you know, definitely not in your favor. So that's more positive plays and more manageable situations, and then better execution in those situations.
Yeah, is that execution or is that play calling that leads you to those spots?
I mean, obviously, everybody can do better at what we're doing. So we can coach better, we can play better, we can execute better. I mean, we all got to do a better job. I don't think it's any just one thing, but, you know, collectively, we just got to be more efficient, more productive.
I've talked to you enough over the years to understand that with football, guys who get it, guys who understand an offense or defensive concept, it's not necessarily a book smart thing. There are Ivy Leaguers who don't get it, and there are guys who hate books who get it. I'm just wondering with offense, understanding your offense, what are the characteristics of a player who gets it? I mean, it's not books. It's not conventional, if you can say that, conventional intelligence. What is it?
Well, I mean, in the end, offense is assignment football. So, you know, we've all got an assignment to do, and we all have to recognize the defense and see it the same way. And that comes from concentration and preparation and, to a certain degree, communication. Sometimes that's verbal. Sometimes it's just visual. But, you know, all seeing the same thing, seeing the same picture so that we can get our assignments executed properly. So, and some of that's just instinctive and obviously preparation, intelligence, but instinctively just being able to see it and make quick decisions in a split second as to what the look is and how we're going to treat it, how we're going to handle it, whether that's before or after the snap.
Would you describe your offense as complicated?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I haven't been with another team in a long time, so it'd be hard for me to compare what somebody else does and what we do, what we ask them to do. But I think when any time that you're in a system for a long period of time, like we are, you certainly build up your overall volume. You know, when you have the same quarterback for a long period of time and the same coaching staff or members of the coaching staff and continuity amongst your players, then you're able to, hey, this is something we did a couple of years ago in this situation and bring it back and be able to do it, you know, not without practice, but, you know, with some recall and some degree of confidence because it's something that we've all done together successfully in the past. So I do think that the volume expands over a period of time. I mean, we're over a decade in the same system. So
how do you balance that for the young, for younger guys or newer guys? How do you balance the desire to make it more and more advanced with what they can actually handle?
Yeah, well, I think that's always, you know, the tightrope you're walking on offense, on defense, on special teams, in anything. You know, I think a lot of times when you put something in, you want to throw something out. I mean, that's one thing. You know, if something goes in, then you eliminate something else, and then that serves to balance it off a little bit there. But, you know, inevitably it probably grows more than it shrinks in the long run, and you just have to, you know, find what you're comfortable with and what you can execute.
From a personnel perspective, as opposed to just a coaching perspective, how much does that affect moves or decisions you might make? Whereas, you know, you might want to, how do you balance keeping somebody because they have the knowledge of the offense or the defense or whatever it is versus they're aging, you're looking for somebody younger, cheaper, etc. How much of a factor would that knowledge base play?
Well, it depends on the gap in talent, but as that gap narrows, you know, that's where experienced players, you know, have an advantage over inexperienced players. And that's one of the always tough questions when you get to the end of training camp as a player who's a little better player now because of his experience and his, you know, gamesmanship and savvy and so forth versus a guy who has more talent, more future, but isn't as experienced as somebody else. And will that gap close? How soon will it close? And how far will the younger player in your projections pass that veteran player with that experience? And that's, you know, you're betting on a moving target there. You know, it's not all. If it was clear cut, then you'd make the decision. When it's not clear cut, then that's a gray area, and those are the kind of decisions you make at the end of training camp that are hard.
We had another game without Gronk yesterday, and I know how valuable roster spots are to you. You don't just look lightly at, oh, he's just the 52nd guy or the 53rd guy. So when I saw that Gronk was on the roster, when you named your team, I thought, he's probably coming back in week three. It was just a guess. I know you didn't say that, but I was guessing that way. So we're at week five. He hasn't played. Did something change from late August with Gronk and his rehab? You thought it would be one thing, and here we are in October, and it's something else? In terms of
no, he's been. We've been taking him day to day for a lot of days now. I think that one of the most important things in that decision was just that he had an opportunity to practice. If we had put him on PUP, then he wouldn't. He can't practice. You know, he can sit in the meetings, but he can't do walkthroughs, and he can't practice with the team. He can't be in pads. Can't do any of those things. So he's had an opportunity over the past few weeks, whenever it was, that he, you know, went from doing drills and just being able to do, you know, walkthroughs and participate in those kind of group things that he wasn't able to do in training camp, that he then was able to up that to you know, working in pads, working on sleds, working on bodies, you know, doing those things and seeing, being out there with the other 21 guys instead of just, you know, catching passes from a trainer or a strength coach or something like that. So certainly he, whenever it is he plays, he'll be a lot more ready to play now than he would have been if he'd just been doing sit-ups and working out with the weight coaches.
If you had known that he wouldn't be able to go until week six or seven.
Well, we didn't know when he's going to be able to go. So we didn't know that. What we did know was that practice is an important part of his preparation, any player's preparation. And he was able to start doing that in September. I forget exactly when it was, but, you know, sometime there in September after we, you know, finalized our rosters. And then he started actively participating with the team, which is something he hadn't done before that. And that was the next step in his rehabilitation.
All right. In a vacuum, you look at it yesterday, you had no penalties. So that would be a good thing. And I wonder, on the flip side, Tom Brady was hit a lot. Is it no penalties is good no matter what the situation? Or when you see your quarterback hit a few times and sacked several times, do you say, well, generally I don't want a penalty, but if a guy had held to protect my quarterback from getting hurt, that would have been okay? I mean, how do you look at no penalties yesterday?
Well, we don't really coach any penalties, so that's not, I mean, we don't tell guys to go out there and get penalties. I think sometimes, you know, football's a very, you know, it's obviously a game where you have to make a lot of quick decisions in a small amount of time, and sometimes things happen, guys get in situations and, you know, they get called for it, and those penalties are sometimes unavoidable. They're bang-bang calls. There's other penalties that are due to lack of concentration, and we certainly try to prevent all those that we can, but, you know, I understand some penalties are part of the game, but we try to incur as few as possible. And you're right, the no penalty situation was that was one of the things we did well. The field position in the game was overall a positive for us. We just didn't take advantage of it. You know, there were a number of things that we did that would or could have been good enough had we done some other things, but the combination of obviously third down, red area, two of the big things that just, you know, they just weren't good enough, so that overrode the things that we did do well.
Bill, now it's time for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. See them for the limited time Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event on the web at mbusa.com. This week's question is from Jack in Boston. Jack wants to know, do you have time to follow the baseball playoffs, and are you a Red Sox fan?
I sure am, and I have followed the playoffs, and been impressed with their two wins over Tampa. Hopefully they can sweep it tonight. Pulling for them.
Pretty simple. Tonight, 6 o'clock right here on 93.7 WEEI. That's our conversation with the coach.